Man Show with Scott Nagy of the White State Raiders here. They're out of the Horizon League with us here. 14 wins in conference play so far. Coach Nagy, how things going with you guys up in White State?
Okay. You know, we've been leading the league, you know, the whole year, and sometimes when you're leading the league, I think it's just a little bit different mindset than when you're chasing somebody. And you know, we didn't play great this weekend, but we won out of two on the road and clinched at least a tie of the conference title.
And Coach King, you've already been 4 years at Wright State, and in all your 4 years there, you've won at least 20 games every year you've been there. How does that make you feel knowing that you set a good, great culture at the school so far, and you got great players coming through to help playing for you and playing the right way and representing your school and university very, very well so far?
Yeah, I think, you know, we've in 4 years, we've won 90 games so far, and I think it mostly is due to the players, and you know, I have good assistant coaches that bring in good players that play the way we want them to and believe in the things that we believe in. And, you know, I always say this, that I'm a pretty good coach when I have really good players, and I'm not a very good coach when I don't.
And, Coach, so your personal level, you won 500 games. You joined a 500-win club. So I know it speaks to your longevity, the success you had at South Dakota State and here at Wright State. So how did it make you feel when you guys got you at 500-win club for you for your whole career in college basketball, college coaching?
Yeah, it was, you know, it's very gratifying. It, you know, I know a lot of people haven't done it. And, again, I would say just, you know, I think, number one, I've coached a long time, 25 years. But you don't coach 25 years unless you're winning, because if you're not winning, you don't get to coach. And you know, I think to that, I've just coached a lot of good players, and I've had a lot of really good assistant coaches that have helped us get good players. And, you know, like I say, when we have those good players, then we tend to win a lot of games.
And, you know, since they're winning 20 games 4 years since you've been at Wright State, how do you prepare your young men during the fall, spring, and summer to get ready for this gauntlet you guys go on every year to keep winning? Because you've set a standard. We win 20 games here at Wright State. So how do you all prepare come April, May, June, July, and August to get ready to do this consistently as you've done the 4 years you've been at Wright State so far?
Well, I do think it's a balancing act. You know, we try not to overdo it, you know, particularly in the spring and summer. And really, we probably spend more time in the spring and summer just working on offensive skill development and trying to help our guys become the best offense players they can become. But, you know, it just is the basketball season, such a long season. We try to make sure we give them plenty of time to rest and do other things and maybe even train differently so that we don't have their bodies injured, just always doing the same thing. And then, you know, once we get to the season, then we get a little more locked in on the defensive side and spend more time working on the toughness, like whether it be diving on the floor for loose balls or blocking out or rebounding, those kind of things. But definitely during the spring and summer, it's probably a little bit lighter and spend more time on the offensive side.
And, Coach, you kind of made a great point there, because is sports science taking up a bigger role here for nutrition-wise, sleep-wise, and strength conditioning-wise? Talk about how important your strength coach is, nutritionist, if you have one on staff, is to make sure that your young men maintain from November 5th through mid-March and beyond, because you all have big aspirations in the NCAA tournament. So how key is it for those people to be aligned with you as well, make sure the young men maintain, don't get hurt, they sleep well, they're eating well, so you can have guys to play hard for you, so have a good place on the court with you as much as you can every night out there for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, our strength and conditioning coach is really a part of our staff and maybe the most important part. And it's nice to have one so that when they do go to the weight room or if we're talking about nutrition or something else, that it's not just the head coach or one of the other assistant coaches that's involved the basketball side. It's constantly in our player's ear. But he, you know, he does a good job. He works with them. He's probably with them 5 or 6 days out of the year, particularly in the spring and summer. You know, we lift 4 days a week, but also just the nutrition side, make sure that the guys are taking in enough calories and enough good calories to have a good weight gain that we want. And then, you know, like you say, the rest, I think the rest is just as important as anything else we do. And a lot of that we can't control. You know, all we can do is educate our guys and hope that they make good decisions.
You got that right, Coach. And also, Coach, you know, I know you was real happy with your team non-con-wise going 12-2 there, getting those 10-2 there, getting those wins. That'll make you really happy because, you know, you guys play different styles. It's hard to get home games because you guys are good. You have to go on the road a lot. You can't get true home games, and they're doing the non-Horizon League season. So 10-10 wins, knowing what you guys are up against, had to make you feel really, really, really good about your team, as they've proven so far in Horizon play as well.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, the probably one of the toughest things we do is scheduling, you know, because we want to put a good enough schedule together so that it has a good impact on our net. But also, it's not a real easy thing to do to get guys, get other teams to come to Wright State. And if you play guarantee games where teams just buy you to come in there, once you get good, it's hard actually to even get those games, because if they're going to pay you a bunch of money, they'd like to know they're going to win the game. And so, you know, you do the best you can to put a schedule together, and then you really hope that the teams you've played and the teams you've beaten have good years, because that will impact your net. And the big problem with that is you just don't have any control once you play them.
You got there right, Coach. Now, before you got in Horizon League play, at what point did you kind of think to yourself, I have a really good team again this year as well? Because I know when you tip off November, you sometimes yes or no until you really get involved and go on. So at what point did you know your staff know, kind of figure, yeah, we'll be really good this year as well again, as we've been in the past 3 years before this year started?
Well, we even knew before we went into the season we were going to have a good year. I think one of the things – that helped us, that was a little bit of a blessing in disguise. You know, one of our best players, our center, Loudon Love, broke his arm in late November, and he was out 4 weeks. And it forced us to play other people, to play some guys off the bench that got some really good playing time and good experience, which made our bench stronger. And then once we got Loudon back, I think it really helped our basketball team.
Yes, indeed. And also, it would really be good for your team. Currently, 14-2 at home. So, defending the home court when you have the home game, especially in Horizon League play, is really, really good for you guys. And so, how do you go about making sure your young men are focused at home, that make sure they defend the home court as well as go on the road and get those key wins you need on the road as well to be atop the way you are right now?
Yeah, it's not always easy at home. And, you know, there's more distractions because they have their friends and their family at those games. And so sometimes the home games can be harder to get guys focused, and it can be a road game, because the road games, when you go, at least the players feel like they have to come together, like it's everybody else against them. But at home, sometimes they can get a little squirrely in terms of, you know, not playing like a team. But, then you always gain the energy edge from your fans and things like that. We have had a good home season. We, you know, like you say, 14-2 and 9-0 in our conference play.
And 14-3 in conference play, and the Horizon League's gotten better because you see Milwaukee's better this year, Green Bay's better with Coach Darner and those guys up there as well. Youngstown State, you know, unfortunately they got you guys last weekend, but you know, the league from top to bottom is getting better. 14-3, I know it's not, you know, you want to get that win like this past weekend, but you have to be good about that, knowing that how the league has gotten better from top to bottom as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's taken a little bit. You know, when I first came in the league, I was one of the newer coaches, but over like a 3-year period, a lot of teams changed coaches. And so we've had a lot of turnover here of late. And I think, you know, coaches are just starting to get settled, get their players in there, which I think will, you know, it's going to help our league. And it's certainly something we want to do, is raise everybody's play, because then that helps everybody's net.
And, you know, you got Northern Kentucky, Coach, you know, having a week in between these games, I think it's good for you guys kind of get us some self-scouting as well before you kind of prepare for Northern Kentucky, because Coach Horn done a good job in year one keeping up with what John Brennan did in his previous years at Northern Kentucky.
You know, both us and Northern Kentucky have one game in the next 16 days. And so, you know, you have to be able to balance getting some rest, and then also how do you practice and prepare for those games. But, yeah, it does give us some time just to not necessarily focus on the other team, but focus on us. Just like this past weekend, we absolutely physically got handled both games and got out-rebounded. And so we're trying to just, you know, focus on some of those things. And it's hard during this time of year to practice really hard because you don't want to get guys hurt. But at the same point, you know, physically we're just not doing things the way we should right now. And so we have to practice hard.
And on film, Northern Kentucky, you know, Coach Horn's first year here coaching Northern Kentucky. So, what's on film from him, and as your guys kind of get ready to play those guys this weekend?
Well, it's, you know, Northern, I mean, Darren's doing a great job there. There's no question about it. And, you know, the first time we played them, they didn't have probably their top player, Dontez Walton, and he's back now. And, you know, he's one of the top players in the league. And so it's, they're just a huge challenge to guard because they have four or five really good offensive players that are very aggressive and very physical. And then on, you know, on the other side of the ball, they play a zone that most people haven't seen and our league has really struggled with. And, you know, they just present some challenges really like nobody else in our league does.
Well, Coach Nagy, good to talk to you again as always, Coach. Hope you have a great weekend and get a win. And I hope to talk to you again in March. You guys go to the big dance for sure one more time.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Anytime. Thank you so much, Coach.
Grab a hold of Big Breakfast flavor at Hardee's. Try two breakfast sliders for just $2.99. Get Applewood smoked bacon or freshly grilled sausage with fluffy eggs and golden melty cheese all on a toasty little bun. Good morning, start at Hardee's. Available now for a limited time at participating restaurants. Tax not included.
All right, we're back on the Boss Man Show here with Lou Hill, coach of the Rio Grande Valley Vaqueros out of WAC Conference. Coach Hill, what's up with you guys, man?
Oh, man, everything is good down here, man. We're down in the valley. Relaxing in about 80-degree weather, so a good day.
No doubt. Coach, in the middle of year four leading the Vaqueros, can't believe it's been year four already for you out there in Rio Grande Valley?
Yes, sir. This is my fourth year.
Yeah, can't believe it's already been four fast years for you guys. I mean, we had you when we first got hired, and now it's already you're in the middle of year four now.
Yeah, so... excited, man. Just thankful and grateful that, you know, I had this opportunity to run my own program, and University of Texas Rio Grande Valley gave me that opportunity. So excited about it.
And what do you feel like has been your greatest accomplishments with your players and your staff and your program since you've been there? Because I know when you take over a new job, you have to set your culture, put your stamp on it. So what do you feel like has been your greatest accomplishment so far in the middle of year four here?
Well, it's just been exciting to see the guys that come through here that graduate. That's big for me to get that degree. And each year we've been here, we plus five. My first year we won 10. Last year we won 15. I may say no. The year after that we won 15. And last year we won 20 and won a game in the CIT. So a lot of firsts. You know, it's the fourth time in the history that they won 20 games, and the first time that they won a postseason game in a long time. So it's moving in the right direction, and we're just really excited. You know, we started off a bunch of injuries early in the year, didn't get off as good a start as I would like. Then now we've won the last six out of seven games.
And come on, last year's 21 season, Coach, what did you guys kind of prioritize in the spring, summer, and fall to get ready for this run in November? Because I know you all put in those hard yards, the player development piece, and getting guys stronger off the court as well with the strength coach and eating right, nutrition wise, sleeping right. So what did you guys really map out the outcome of 21 season to get you guys ready for this year, starting November or earlier last year?
Well, we knew we lost a lot of leadership there. We really tried to establish that, like who was going to lead us and who was going to take that step up with all the vacated spots going in, and Leslie and Jordan and Javon has done a really good job, really, especially down the stretch here of doing that. You know, we start off, like I said, Javon's been hurt all throughout the year and he was our heart and soul, but Jordan Jackson, Leslie Varner has done a really good job of stepping up and really starting to lead down the stretch.
And, Coach, for you guys at your level in the WAC Conference, how important is the player development piece for you guys, getting guys better individually, daily, throughout practice and drill work, and off-season work as well, getting those guys, just as coaches, getting them guys shots up, working with them with their dribbling and then their drills and film work? How important is it at you all's level?
Oh, it's very important. You know, we're not going to get the five-star recruits. We're not even probably going to get the four-star recruits, but we try to get the best players that fit our system. And then each and every year, just try to get them better, to make them improve. Like Leslie Varner, who leads us in scoring right now, him and Jordan Jackson has improved every year that they've been here. And that's what it's about. And they're seniors now and having a good senior year. And Javon, when he first got here, he couldn't shoot the ball. Now he's shooting at a high percentage. You know, so just watching those guys develop is really exciting. And we work really hard on individual work and in the film room with them.
And, Coach, being in Texas, there's so many D1 schools in Texas. So How do you separate yourself in Rio Grande Valley to a young man and say, hey, you want to come here, play for us and play our softball, enjoy the valleys? Because, you know, so many great schools in South Texas is D1 already. So how do you kind of separate yourself and different your program and say, hey, give us a shot here as well?
We try to sell our vision, you know, try to sell our conference. And, you know, we tell kids the truth. We don't try to play games. You know, we not for everybody. The Valley is a unique place, and everybody not comfortable being here. But, you know, we love it. The weather year-round is beautiful. Palm trees, you know, a big Hispanic culture, you know. So we embrace the difference, you know. So, and we tell everybody, you come here, you're going to work hard, you're going to get a degree, you're going to play some good basketball. We try to play, you know, as tough a schedule we can in the preseason. And then, you know, once we get into conference play, I think the WAC is an underrated conference, mid-major conference.
And speaking of this preseason, Coach, because I know you only got 5 wins this year, but you kind of mentioned about why that was. But, you know, a lot
you
of
only got what?
You got 5 wins in the preseason this year. You mentioned about the injuries that you had with your key players there. But fans don't understand about at the WAC level. You don't get as many home games as you like. You know what I'm saying? So you got to go on the road, play guaranteed games. You got to challenge yourself to get ready for WAC play. So you might not, the record might not really determine how good your team is, because you have all the layers that I just mentioned before you get to the WAC play is going on in November and December there.
Yeah, I mean, well, we play, you know, like we played Oklahoma, we played Texas Tech, then we played, you know, quite a few people on the road and Creighton, you know, so a really tough non-conference schedule. And then we played that, you know, we're not a full team, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
it's hard enough. I don't even know if we could beat them with a full team. But then when you're hurt and you're not healthy, especially at this level, especially with us building a program, we just don't have the depth yet to sustain if certain players get hurt and injured, that we're not as good. We're not as effective. So, but, you know, that's part of sports, right? And what it's done for us, you know, we can't use that as an excuse, but that's just the real. But what we got to do is our guys just got to get better, the ones that's out there playing next man up. And we didn't start off fast, but right now we're on a good roll. So now that we're healthy.
And, Coach, what do you feel like your team's really improved on from November to now? Because I know when you get started, you kind of don't know sometimes, since we have injuries as well. You don't really know what you have, but guys have stepped up for you. We feel like you've really improved on from November to now, here we're saying late February, heading into the key part of March, where you want to peak right now in March here.
Well, we really picked up our defense and rebounders really picked up the last 6 or 7 games. And, you know, we're really starting to play tough and on that edge, you know, and we're getting out. We call it defending, rebounding, running. We're really doing a good job of attacking offensively now.
Yeah, because, no, in college ball, we all know is when you play downhill and attack, the referees might give you those whistles. If you're just taking jumpers, it might not get as many calls, but down, if you're playing downhill, most of the time in the college game, the ref's going to give you a call. So how important is it to your guys, hey, to get out there, get the rebound, push that ball down the court, stay downhill, try to get a call, get guys in the bonus, we set the line, get us some free points, and set our defense if we make a foul shots?
Well, I think it's important to just attack him. My personality is aggressive anyway, so I want my team to be aggressive. And if you're not, you know, we want to attack and drive and kick and shoot threes, but if you don't have threes, we want to get fouled, get to the free throw line. You definitely want to shoot more free throws than your opponent, and we don't want to foul on the other end. And that's if we score, we can set up our pressure defense, and that helps you just to get in a good rhythm. And if you're not scoring, you always run it back defensively, so you never could, you know, get in the rhythm.
And, Coach, you guys are playing real well at home, Coach Hill, 10-3 at home right now. Talk. I know it can be hard for young men to play at home. We got family in town, distraction with your friends, your classmates. So you guys locked in at home in the Valley there, so 10-3, because you want to win on home games for sure, try to split on the road in conference play.
Yeah. No, we've done a good job. It's funny, it's been opposite this year. We haven't been a good road team, but a good home team. And last year, we were a great road team, but not a good home team. So we just switched up a few things, you know, as far as with our guys at home. And they have embraced it. And our crowds have been tremendous this year. So, you know, now when the guys come out and play, they got that home court advantage and that home court feel. So it's been the fans, and it's done a great job here, and it made our players play a better brand of basketball at home.
Now, Coach, you got Bakersfield this week, and I know Coach Rob Barnes does a great job out there with those young men. So what's awesome. On film for his gear that Coach Barnes and his guys coming to play you guys?
We're going there.
Oh, you're going there? So what you got to see on film from them so far?
Well, they just, they ain't no tricks to it. They probably one of the top two most physical teams, well-coached. Coach Barnes does a good job of making his guys play hard and playing selfish, and they're a great rebounding team. So, it's just going to be a physical battle, and we got to be ready for that because they got such great athletes that get out and run on misses, on makes. They going to just run their offense and then pound that ball, and then if they miss it, they going to climb your backs to get it. So we got to be prepared for that for 40-plus minutes.
Now, Coach, it's just late in the year, man. So how do you keep your young men focused on the task at hand, Bakersfield, not look ahead to what's coming up here in March here real soon?
Well, we just prepare them. We work hard in practice. I've shortened practice. As you get out in this time of year, you don't have long practice. You just make it short and sweet and tough and hard and just stick to the basics, just rebounding, defending, and that carries you a long ways. And if you play unselfish, you give yourself a chance.
Coach Hill, I'm glad you're doing a good job, man. You're year four here, man. I love South African American culture still sticking in strong because not many of us in the business left here. So we want to have many of us mm-hmm. if we can, keeping it going. So I'm glad you're doing well. And the Valley's down there representing, showing you love, man. We'll definitely be cheering for you guys. Make sure you guys keep going at Wax Standards, man. Hopefully you get punched that ticket to the big dance here.
Oh, man, that would be beautiful, man. Thank you so much for having me.
Anytime, folks. That's Lou Hill here on the Boss Man Show.
Sally Beauty's new all-in-one hair color kits make it easy to color your hair at home. Get everything you need to color for beautifully radiant results. Loved by professionals, open to everyone. Sally Beauty.
Yeah, no, it's been a great first year. No, we're 14-13 right now, and we're 8-8 in the league, and the top five teams in our league get buys that first night of the conference tournament. So we're right there. I think we're tied for fourth right now. So we got to find a way to get some wins on the road this weekend. We got Sacramento State tomorrow night and then at Northern Arizona on Saturday. Two tough places to play, especially on the road. And, but a lot of it, we're all kind of jumbled up in that, for those seeds, for the bye. And, the next four games, the last four games of conference is gonna tell a lot because we all play each other.
Yeah, Northern Arizona is right there, right below UNCO and Eastern Washington. Of course, Montana always up there at the top, but you play them guys real tough. So how do you guys feel, Coach Sprinkle, that, Travis Coach, you did a great job. You got him tough pretty much. I know you only need more victories, but you played them kind of tough there, knowing how good they've been over the years.
Yeah, we did. We played well, and I thought, for how inexperienced we are at the Division I level, I thought our guys, they competed because it was a high-level game. We just couldn't make shots. And credit to their defense, I thought they defended at a really high level, but we couldn't score it. We were 3 of 20 from three. I think we missed 12 layups. Some of them were contested, some you just got to make. And especially to beat a really good team, to finish.
Yes, indeed. Like I said, from top to bottom, the league is tough. Like I say, even the team at the bottom can buy. Eastern Washington lost to the two worst teams in the standing wise and in the conference. So on any given night in the Big Sky Conference, as Coach, it's a tough battle no matter who you play. So these last four games will be very key for you guys. So how are you keeping your young men the focus to tell them that hey, you got to play good late February and early March to make it to the big dance and punch a ticket because this is the way you want to peak right here, right now.
It is. And, the one thing I like about our team is we've been in a lot of close games. And, and we've won a lot of close games. Starting with, the tournament we played at UNC Greensboro. I think that's the best win our conference has had. We beat Greensboro at Greensboro early in the season. And I want to say they're in, like, the 60s of the RPI right now. And but we've won a lot of close games, and that's what it's going to take down the stretch, and especially in the tournament. I don't know the stat anymore, but I know in the first 10 games of conference, the Big Sky Conference had more one-possession games than any other conference in the country. And so, there's a lot of parity, and it's going to be a fun tournament.
I know it's after close games you was playing, and I was going to ask you about that because, when you kids learn by being thrown to the fire. They only learn and, you know, just sit on the bench. So getting to have the experience these tough games where you go either way, here a play here or there, it helps you when we go to film session and practice, talking about, hey, how attention to detail is very key. So winning these games, because if we don't pay attention to detail, make the right rotation, be in the right spot, set a strong screen, come off of the cut the right way, then we run the play the exact way that's executed, we'll win the game and not lose it. So going through those experiences, some good, some bad, has to help you guys. This time of year is the key, where a loose ball, 50 ball here and there, determines whether you win or you lose and go home for the offseason.
No doubt. In fact, I need to have you come say exactly what you just said the last 20 seconds to our team and film.
I would love to.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. You know, it comes down to, you know, a missed box out at the end of a game. You know, two guys, they don't pinch, you know, and some guy gets a tip and they hit a three. Like, look at the Carolina Duke game. And, you know, I mean, it's just the margin for error is so small at the Division I level. And, you know, getting that through our guys, and, you know, we've taken our lumps with a couple of those. You know, we lost at Bakersfield on a, you know, we were up and 14 seconds left. We inboxed out at the free throw line. They got it, made two free throws, you know, won the game. And, you know, but that's something too. Like I said, you know, the young teams have to go through that stuff. You know, sometimes those lessons, they're hard to deal with at the time, but, you know, in the long run, you know, they pay off. And, you know, we've had to teach our guys a lot through film this year. And I think they've done a pretty good job responding with it.
Yeah, because I feel like this is a film, Coach. You know this as a coach as well. Me having played ball myself, so I know it as well. The eye of the sky don't lie. You know, the film is not a lie. You can ask a young man, what are you thinking about when on that rotation there? Or when you shoot a flare, you should want to do a V cut, where you want to do a back cut, whatever the case may be, they missed it. You can ask the young man, hey, this is what were you saying, what were you thinking? Because they can't run from it. They have to hold them accountable to be specific, to scouting reports, attention to detail, understand, you know, what you're trying to teach them, shooting around as well, and doing timeouts, because I think that's the hard part for young guys, is keeping them focused on all of those small amount of details about the game that makes a difference in the second half, and especially during this time of year as well.
No, exactly. And it's, you know, it's just, everything is details. Everything is details. And especially at this time of year, it's just, you know, like we said, you know, it's such a small margin of error. And but then also it just comes down to, you know, players making plays. You know, guys got to make shots this time of year. And that's, you know, that's the fun part about, you know, late February, early March is seeing guys step up. And this is where guys make a name for themselves.
Out there, right? You know what's funny about who said that is making shots, because knowing the Hawks, the thing is, it's a make or miss league. Is they all say it's make or miss. You know, we can have the best scheme in the world, but it's always come down to make or miss. You know, that's what
make
it all boils down
miss.
To.
Make or miss. And we need to make some this weekend. I know that.
I hear that. Coach, talk to you. We got the job in the spring, man. So talk to us about your transition and how the program is kind of growing more under you. You're getting more, your feet wet a little bit more. You're making those house calls now. It all starts with you now. So how's that been for you?
It's been awesome. It's been, you know, I have a really good staff, which has made the transition, you know, a lot easier. You know, some experienced guys and hungry guys. You know, they love to. The players, they love working out. They love the grind. And, you know, that's made the transition a lot easier. And I also have a really good senior point guard, Harold Frey, who I think is one of the, you know, best point guards in the country, to be honest with you. And, you know, he's a great leader. He's made some huge shots. I mean, he's the one that had the number one play on SportsCenter. He hit the half quarter against Greensboro to beat him. And, you know, and just his feel for the game. And he makes everybody better, which, you know, has not only made my transition here, but it's made all the newcomers' transition easier, too, because he makes them better.
And, you know, speaking of those newcomers, what did you guys kind of focus on in the summer there, your first summer there, and the early fall here, getting ready for November? Because I knew when it's your first year, you're trying to establish a culture, establish a brand, establish new way of new work habits, new live habits, new eating habits. So how was that getting the young men to buy in, especially the newcomers, and especially the ones who stayed around and believed in you and your staff's vision for the Montana State Bobcats going forward?
Yeah, well, I mean, they were, you know, we weren't a very good, you know, as a program, we weren't very good defensively before I got here. And so I knew that had to change. You know, we were statistically one of the worst teams in the Big Sky the past couple of years. And so I knew that culture had to change for us to have a chance to win. And so in the summer, you know, for the 21 practices we had, it was probably 98% defense. And, I mean, slides, ball screen, I mean, you name it. It was the hard stuff, the grind stuff. And we kind of, the guys really bought into it because they knew it was important for them to win. And, you know, so we haven't had to fight these guys on, on any of that, which has been, you know, a blessing. But, you know, we still got a long way to go. And, you know, we focused in on the defensive end of the floor, which is, you know, gave us a chance to win 14 games so far, you know, and hopefully more down the stretch. But, you know, and then I think you asked about, you know, where do we focus in on our recruiting? And, you know, we signed, I think, 3 junior college kids and 2 high school kids late. And then we have a transfer sitting out that was at University of Missouri, Kansas City, who averaged about 16 a game there in the WAC, that we're excited about that will be eligible next year. And, you know, we got a couple overseas kids. I think we have 6 guys on our roster.
I was going to say, you a lot of international kids. A lot of guys are international kids. I saw that.
Yeah. Yep. And from everywhere, from Toronto, from Spain, Germany, you know, our best players from Norway, you know, the point guard. So, you know, it's been fun. Plus, it's been fun just, you know, having those guys mesh together. You know, I mean, it's funny because I'm sure they're cussing me out in different languages. I don't even know what they're saying. So, but it's been awesome.
And I know you wanted more wins in non-conference, but getting 6 wins year one, knowing you don't get people to come to Montana and say to play you at home, and to go on a road like playing in terms like Greensboro there, you know, having to see different styles, having a young team. I mean, 6 wins, considering all things, to me, was very good for your program. Gave you guys a
I'll tell you what, I was happy as hell with 6 wins. knew as we were, and I knew. The teams we were playing, like Greensboro, was really good. South Dakota State is really good. Appalachian State, really good. You know, Wisconsin, Green Bay, and they put a beat down on us. You know, they showed us how good they are. So, you know, I was happy with how soon our guys, you know, kind of started playing well together.
Yes, indeed. And I feel like, you know, when you have a good non-league, it gives you a good boost into the league play. You're 8-8 right now, so we talked about you in the hunt there. Sac State on Thursday night here coming up here. So I feel like this coach, you know, you see him every day. But I feel like that tough they showed in non-con and got some confidence as young men. And in that, they let the ground beat them. They understood what's going on here. And got to play guaranteed games, all that kind of stuff. And, we got guys against on our level now, the Big Sky guys, who we can definitely – compete with every night if we play the right way and defend and rebound for sure.
No question. And that's what I wanted to challenge our guys with. You know, I mean, playing in an environment like at Grand Canyon, you know, which is just, I mean, it's like a rave. The place is rocking, you know, and at Greensboro where teams going to press you and they have great athletes. And, you know, they put us, you know, they stress you. You know, they put you in some stressful environments and situations. So, you know, I thought, you know, all of those, and we played a bunch of different styles. We played teams that run and gun and press the whole time, and we played slow, grinded out teams, which I think, you know, which is what our league is, you know, and so we wanted to prepare them for all those things that they were going to see in league.
Now, Coach, no, for you, this is your first going around as in the Big Sky again as the head man, so what's it been like for you, of course, preparation-wise, seeing these coaches for the first time, some second time now through now, how's it been for you guys kind of get acclimated to your conference and how these different teams play?
It's been a challenge, you know, especially going from an assistant to a head coach. You know, it's hard because, I mean, every scout is your scout. You know, you don't have time to, you know, I don't have 2 weeks to just work on one team and know everything they do. You know, we play a game on Thursday and on, you know, the game on Saturday, I got to start on Thursday night and I got to be prepared by practice on Friday. And then, I mean, I still got to know everything about that team, but the window's a lot shorter and it's a lot less sleep. But, you know, that's where, you know, having a really good staff comes into and, you know, getting different ideas and different game plans and things like that.
Well, Coach Springer, you're doing a good job in my book, buddy. I'm glad you're doing well. Hope to see the Final Four here when you come to Atlanta, where hopefully it'll be warm for you because it's cold today, Coach. It's in the 40s and raining, so it's not
too cold. Man, you know that's not even cold. Come on up to Montana. I'll show you some cold.
Hey, I'm scared, Coach. I'm scared of that.
We'll get you up there someday.
All right. Hey, Coach, all have right. A good talk to you real soon, buddy.
You bet, man. Appreciate you.
Hey, it's Dan Sprinkle on the Boss Man Show.
How do you feel about your office? Is it just a space for your company, or is it a space to help you grow your company? From new HQs to satellite offices, with WeWork, you can find a space that works for you. Visit we.co/spacematters to learn more.
All right, for about the Boss Man Show, time for the JC Sports Report. Going down to Memphis, holler at my man, JC Smith, bruh. What's good in 901, man?
Boss, man, everything's everything, man. You know, we just, you know, in hibernation right now, man, you know?
Man, what you see? Hey, look here, this last weekend of Black History Month. March is right around the corner, so that's March Madness, man. And the Grizz has a key month of March kind of maintain that eighth playoff spot, man. What are your thoughts on the Grizz? Is prospects keep holding off Portland and New Orleans, all these teams trying to chase them for that eighth playoff spot, man.
Hey, man, you know, the stakes are high right now. You know what I'm saying? Seems like at this point, you know, we knew the Grizz were going to be in for a tough stretch of games after the All-Star break, knowing that the Grizz had one of the toughest schedules, you know, remaining of any, you know, playoff contending team there. So we knew it was going to be a tough stretch. And, you know, a lot of the locals here were thinking, okay, you know, this four-game road trip, if we can just get one game, you know, that we'd be okay with it, with just winning one game on this road trip. Right now, the Grizz are 0-3, and you got a nationally televised ESPN game down in Houston tonight, and it's a great chance the Grizz lose that game, and, you know, and they're staring at 0-4 road trip to come back home with. But they're saving grace the fact that New Orleans lost last night, Portland lost last night, so you still have a little cushion, you know, between Memphis, New Orleans, Memphis, and Portland. Right now, but it's going to be tough, man. Like I said, you know, the Grizz, you know, have been one of the more healthier teams, you know, this season. Not dealing with any serious injuries. Now you got second year pro Jaren Jackson. You got him out with a knee strain. Brandon Clark is going to be out for a number of games also with his ailment. So, you know, it's going to be tough going forward, man. I'm not sure if the Grizz is going to be able to hold on and secure that eighth playoff spot. But all in all, if they don't make the playoffs, it's still been a great season, man. You saw what you have in Ja Morant. You know, you see what you got in Jaren Jackson. You got a nice little nucleus to work with, Dylan Brooks, Brandon Clark. You know, you got Justice Winslow to add next year. You know, so the future is bright, man. But, you know, these last 20-some games coming up, it's going to take a miracle, man, for the Grizz to hold on and hold on to the eighth spot.
Well, they got some help coming because they play the Hawks on March 2nd in Atlanta and March 7th in Memphis, and I'll beat up for that. So it could be two wins for you guys next week.
Hey, man. And knowing the Grizz look, hey, Trae Young go out for 50 in both games, man, and the Hawks win, man.
Well, I'm hoping that doesn't happen for draft pick purposes. Hey, I cheer for losses every night, not wins. So, cause when we win, we still lose. Okay.
No doubt.
Ping pong balls. No doubt. Now, I was debating this with some guys, man, in the arena about this. The Clippers, it don't matter what seed they are, bro. It don't really matter. They get a 2 seed. It don't matter if it's the Lakers court or the Clippers court. It's just... If it was a Clippers court, still be more Laker fans than Clipper fans. It don't matter. That's why I said Clippers get the 2 seed, being from Denver. The 1 seed does not really matter in the Western Conference because both teams are in LA. And we know that whether it's a Clipper court or the Lakers court down, there'll be more Laker fans at Staples Center than Clipper fans.
You know, it's a funny thing about the Clippers. Like, you know, we saw what they did to the Grizz the other night, and they looked like, you know, world beaters, man. But are we sure? We know they loaded up as far as the roster from, you know, 1 to 12. Like they're stacked, they're loaded, you know, with the fire, you know, firepower they have. But Paul, is it me, Boss, or does Paul George? He doesn't look right, does he?
He does not look right. He looks
like it still hasn't clicked yet with Paul George on this team, man. And that's something to look at, you know, come playoff time when they do, you know, meet up with the Lakers, man. Like, if Paul George is still not, you know, the PG, you know, PG that we know, you know what I'm saying? Like, then what does that mean for the Clippers? Like, if Paul George is not clicking on all cylinders, can they still beat the Lakers? You know, I think that's a very good question to raise at this point. You know, Paul George, man, you know, we've heard of some friction, some things going on in the locker room. You know, Doc Rivers is a great coach, and I'm sure he's, you know, going to try his best to figure out how to make it work for everybody involved. But, you know, I still like the Clippers to beat L.A., but, man, like I think, like, Paul George is not clicking. Like, man, like, who else can you count on that you know for sure is going to, you know, be able to step it up in crunch time in the playoffs
other than Kawhi Leonard on that team. You know, you got Kawhi, you got Sweet Lou. You know, but is there anybody else that you can say for sure, hey, they're going to, you know, bring it. They're going to have their A game ready for playoffs. And, you know, if not Paul George, you can throw in that mix. Like, I don't know who the other guy you can point at that you can just guarantee is going to give you buckets.
It's just Kawhi and Lou Will. And Paul George needs to be at third wheel. He needs to be two. He needs to be two. Lou Will needs to be three. And then you have a mixture of Marcus Morris, and you go throw with Montrezl Harrell and those guys, Pat Bev and Reggie Jackson. Those others. There's no Shaq talking about the others have to produce in the playoffs. The others must produce for the Clippers.
No doubt. You know, it's something to keep an eye on. Because the Paul George, you know, he's hovering around 20 points a game. He's shooting in the low 40s as far as the field goal percentage. So, you know, that's, you know, low numbers for him that he's, you know, he probably hasn't seen those type of numbers since his rookie year. So, you know, something to keep an eye on, man. You know, I know he's coming off, you know, injury, you know, at the beginning of the season, but he still doesn't look right to me, man, in a Clippers uniform.
And the Milwaukee's 50 wins right now, and then 8 games ahead of Toronto, who are 42-16 at the moment. And, JC, let's look at this. Milwaukee has had to be as good as Toronto is somehow maintaining without Kawhi Leonard, who they lost, and, you know, injuries to Ibaka and Gasol, and they're maintaining. So the job Nick Nurse is doing up there in Toronto has been one of a kind. So think about this. They are 50-50-8 right now, but they had to be because Toronto's been so good right behind them.
No doubt. Like you said, you know, kudos Nick Nurse. Everybody thought that the wheels were going to fall off Toronto with Kawhi leaving and everything, but he's been able to keep that thing afloat. Pascal Siakam was an all-star this year, man. Kyle Lowry's an all-star. Like, you know, they just got guys that just know how to win, you know how to play, man. So Toronto is still, you know, in the mix in the Eastern Conference. Milwaukee, you know, quiet as it's kept. Milwaukee is on pace to win over 70 games. You know what I'm saying? The way they're going right now. You know, they might finish in 70, 71 games. Like, that's crazy when you think about it. And of course, them being in Milwaukee, they don't get the, you know, press that they should. But Milwaukee is like, you know, you can make an argument for them being literally the best team in the league right now, you know, this year, man. And they still don't get no love or anything, man. It's really going to take them doing something in the playoffs for them to get that love and to come out of the East. Giannis may be on his way to a back-to-back MVP season with the numbers that he's putting up. But it's not all about Giannis. They got other guys also that can, you know, give you that work. You know, at a moment's notice, man. You're talking about Chris Middleton. You know, another all-star buck there, man. The guy that can knock it down from the perimeter, man. And the Brooks brothers, you know. This is guys – I'm sorry, the Lopez brothers. Brooke Lopez, Robin. This guys that, you know, just know how to play, man. Great veterans out there just doing their thing. And like I said, Milwaukee and Toronto, it's going to be a battle back and forth. I can't wait to see them match up, you know, hopefully in the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm out on Philly. Boss, I was a big Philly guy to begin the season, but they looked very dysfunctional, very divided. So I'm not feeling Philly right now. But I think it's a two-horse race in the East, man. Definitely Milwaukee and Toronto. That's going to battle it out to you know, advance to the finals there.
And they're bringing my boy off the bench now, Al Horford. So
right. That's your guy, yeah.
They paid him all that money, 4 years, $109 million to come off the bench.
No doubt.
You kidding
me?
So yeah,
him and Mike Conley. You know, Mike, it was reported today that the Jazz are going to bring Mike Conley off the bench going forward, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, $35 million a year off the bench, yeah.
Man, Jesus. It's good to have all that money. It's good to have all that money. Well, somebody was trying to make some money. Jalen Hurts of the Alabama Crimson Tide, now the Oklahoma Sooners. It was a report today that nobody's asked him to work out as a wide receiver. Why is it always a black quarterback who's mobile? There's always this narrative that want to make them a wide receiver, like Cordell Stewart or Hines Ward, Antoine Randall-L, Lamar Jackson, Michael Vick at a time, Marcus Vick at a time. Like, why is it when it's an athletic black quarterback, the first always make them a wide receiver or a running back? Please explain, brother.
You know, exactly, bro. We got to stop this. The NFL has to stop this. The media has to stop this. You know, we saw, like I said, Lamar Jackson go through the same thing, and he has put up, you know, he just put up one of the greatest seasons ever. you know, by an NFL quarterback, man. You know, just because your skin is of, you know, a certain hue, or, you know, because you, you know, have these, you know, athletic traits that are just through the roof, you know, doesn't make you a unicorn. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, we're special. Lamar Jackson's special. Jalen Hurts is special. Tua is special. Okay, so are we going to make Tua, you know, a receiver, a running back, because he's fast and he has quick twitch? And, you know what I'm saying? It seems like it's always coded towards us, you know, in regards to making a guy that's obviously a quarterback. You saw him do it at Alabama. You saw him do it at a higher level at Oklahoma, and a guy that was in the running for the Heisman Trophy all year long, man, under the right scheme, under the right playbook. Jalen Hurts can be a successful NFL quarterback. You see where the NFL is trending. They're trending towards the mobile quarterback, the spread quarterback. You know, it's trending towards that type of league now, you know, where college game plans, college playbooks are NFL are becoming, you know, very, you know, very trendy in the NFL now, you know. So, and look at Arizona, you know, with Kyler Murray. So it's just something that's happening. So you mean to tell me the way the NFL is going, you still talking about making this guy or asking him to try out a different position? Nonsense, man. You know, and if I'm Jalen Hurts, you stick to your guns the same way Lamar Jackson did, and you look and say, look, I'm not going to be a running back. I'm not going to be a receiver. I'm a quarterback. And there will be some team that's going to draft him fourth, fifth, sixth round. And I bet you anything, he's going to be put into a situation that's going to be friendly to him, and he's going to be able to show what he can do at the next level.
Yeah, so I really hope that, you know, he sticks to his guns and don't let them label him as whatever they want to label him as. So, Jalen, good job, brother. Good job. With JC, the sports report is flew by as always, my brother. We'll do it again next week, man. And next week I'll be in Memphis with you. Hawks, Grizzlies at the FedEx Forum, then downtown is on Beale Street. And live it up with you guys as we used to back in the early days of the Boss Man Show. We come down and keep
making it happen. We're going to shut it down. We're going to shut down Beale Street, man. We're going to hit up all the bars, eat all the good food, man. The FedEx Forum is not ready for us, man.
Man, it's not. I look forward to it, bro. Hold it down. We'll see you next week, brother.
All right, boss.
Anytime. It's my man, the Boss Man Show, JC Smith. Follow him on Twitter, JCSmith926. We out.
Did you hear the news? Metro PCS is now Metro by T-Mobile. Now you get new plans with unlimited high-speed data all month long, all on the T-Mobile network. Check out the new Metro by T-Mobile today and discover the smarter way to get unlimited. Metro by T-Mobile. That's genius. During congestion, the fraction of customers using greater than 35 gigs per month may notice reduced speeds. And Metro customers may notice reduced speeds versus some T-Mobile customers. Video streams at 480p. Coverage not available in some areas. See store for details and terms and conditions.
All right, folks, back on the Boss Man Show. Time for the Boss Report. After a week hiatus, the man himself, straight out of Jersey, the man, the one and only from CougsFan.com, Tony T-Bone Williams for the Florida Man Boss Report. What's up, Bone? You're back. Glad to rehire you this week, man.
Yeah, man. Thanks for rehiring. I just got to say, I'm fighting a head cold this week, but I had to hop on with you again because I know a certain someone in Wisconsin missed me.
Yes, he did. He very much missed you so much that he told me he was proud of me that you wasn't around, but he'll only be proud for a short time because now you're back. You fight through a head cold, so I appreciate your bones. We're going to get into it, brother. Folks, you've been waiting on it. It's time for it. It's here. It's the Boss Report. First story, Bone, is this, my man. Here we go. Florida man and his two friends down in Tampa rob a drugstore of $320,000 in pills. Take precautions like wearing gloves from surgery so they wouldn't leave prints, but toss empty pill bottles out the window of their getaway car, which cops follow like breadcrumbs to arrest them at their hideaway.
So they got a half right, so they thought they were getting away with it by using gloves, and thought of himself, and then they left a breadcrumb trail, like
yes,
a cartoon situation.
Yes, some empty pill bottles they thrown out the window.
So they were half right, and then the second half, they got caught because they watched too many Bugs Bunny cartoons.
Correct. You're very much correct. And Florida man's arrested for pulling gun on escort, saying, quote, "She was touching everything in my house but my rounds with chick."
He said he pulled a gun at the girl?
Yeah, the escort was not grabbing his Johnson, so he put a gun on her. She touched everything but my Johnson, pretty much.
So why pull a gun on? See, why go that extreme? There are dozens of ways where you can go get things grabbed and touched on without having to pull a gun on somebody.
Correct.
He could have called a trap. You know, just hung out there. I mean, it's, you know, discount. Why the gun? I don't get it.
Exactly. Florida man arrested getting topped off and for having 7 to 8 pounds of meth in the van behind him with some iguanas who were waking up.
Oh, that's great. So we have toffee, which I haven't heard that in a while. And we have meth, that's always a good staple in Florida. And the live undead iguanas. The undead iguanas got to be the best storyline of this early year because so many stories that we've done so far have to do with undead iguanas.
Yes. Why were they in your car while you were getting topped off with meth in the back? Why were they around the meth anyway?
Yeah, well, the meth is a Florida staple. I mean, I don't think you can have a Florida man do without meth somewhere involved.
Exactly. Exactly. And, oh, God, this is pretty interesting. Florida man wears an F the police shirt to court, wins his case.
Oh. So then I figured that he is not of our ilk.
He's not.
Yeah, he can't be because, first of all, once our ilk goes to court, we're going to jail, no matter what. Second of all, you can't walk into a courtroom of our ilk with that shirt and think you're going to get off scot-free. So kudos to that man for knowing how to place himself.
Yes, indeed. Florida man assaults a mother with potato soup because she wouldn't give him $10 for some Popeyes.
Yeah, that's right. That movie Wedding Crashers, Mom, Meatloaf, but instead he has potatoes. He told him to kill her instead. So she would give him $10 for Popeyes, huh?
Mm-hmm. Please.
You know what? I'll tell you, though. I just last week had Popeyes chicken there for the first time last week. And I kind of get it. So, I mean, come off that $10, Mom. I want Popeyes.
Yes, indeed. And get this. Florida man arrested. Florida in the neighborhood saying, quote, "I'm checking security systems for Donald Trump. He's the man." Really?
He's checking the security camera for Donald Trump?
Yes. Like, why are you checking those cameras for Donald Trump? Why?
So as if Donald Trump is now out down in Florida in everyone's backyard lurking around backyards?
Yeah, pretty much. My God.
Now, see, I know our Presidente is a creep, but I don't think he's just going to be just in a random neighborhood in the backyard somewhere creeping.
Exactly. Man, look at here, bro. Florida man convinces people from all over the country to FedEx him thousands of dollars of cash so he can, to his motel room, so he can, quote, get the coronavirus off their computers. Who is that dumb? The coronavirus is not a computer virus.
Yeah.
Folks send him money, they can get the coronavirus off the computer. Like, really?
But are people doing it?
Yes! He's in a Motel 6.
So then I'm not going to blame him. Get that hustle. I'm going to blame all the idiots. But first of all, I'm sending money, or wiring money to the Motel 6. First of all, that idea is not shady at all. And second of all, they're believing him that the coronavirus is a virus and like in your computer, like malware. So I'm not going to hustle. For the first time, I'm on the Florida man's side because those idiots who are wiring him money deserve everything they get.
Man, get this. Florida man dresses Fred Flintstone, pulled over for driving the footmobile.
You know, any story that involves Fred Flintstone, I'm okay with because that was from my childhood cartoons, man. I love Flintstones. And you know what? If my man was in full Prince Regal.
Yes, Regal, everything. Everything.
So he was in that tiger skin toga.
Yes, he had everything, bro. Everything.
And he was barefoot.
Yes.
And he had those giant ankles. I love Florida, bro. I love Florida.
Yes. Get this. Florida man pulls gun and says, quote, "I'll kill anybody in here," after he was honked at in the Burger King drive-thru.
Oh, yeah. That's the key case of being hangry. My man said, "I can't take it anymore. My stomach is rumbling. I can't wait in this line anymore. You better honk at me. I need my Whopper. I need my cheddar bacon king. Hook me up."
Man, yes, indeed. Florida man doing his thing. Wow. Florida man leaves bar after being broke up by his girlfriend. Runs over girlfriend with his car. Returns to bar, runs over the bartender. Deputies say,
"Wow, that took a dark turn." So he ran over the girlfriend first, and then the bartender.
Yes.
What did the bartender do to him? But you serve him drinks.
Exactly.
Like, the bartender is a good time guy. Why are you hurting the good time guy? You know, now, I'm not saying the ex lady, but the bartender's your friend. What are you doing?
Yes. Get this. Florida man arrested for whacking his weed whacker in Walmart over seeing a nice posterior in the meat section.
Oh my God, there's Joey Entendre there, meat section and whacking. And, man, meat section alone is hilarious. But you know, it's Walmart. You know, it's just a typical Tuesday night in Walmart. You know, to take it out, and of course, he's not of our ilk because it really got shot off right there on the spot.
No, he was of our ilk. No, he was of our ilk, actually.
No.
Yes.
He was of our. That is a game changer. You know what? I probably should have suspected that because you did say that he stole a rather big posterior, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, folks, that's our thing. That's of our ilk. Okay. I'm sorry. I missed right there. Yeah, he saw a big one. And he's like, okay. So, it makes sense that he was of our ilk. I mean, it makes sense.
He was in Tampa, so you know.
Yeah, okay. There you go.
Yes. Florida man, shoplifting suspect, accused of shoving meat down his pants and stripping naked before getting tased and jostled by the police.
He stole meat and hit it where the meat is usually, and then his pants fell off?
His pants fell off and he got tased by the police on his Johnson.
I want to know, were the cops aiming for the Johnson?
Yes.
Yes,
they were aiming, and he was up on yoke, too.
Oh, okay. So, well, there's so many jokes there you can add to it. But, I mean, the chest area, that's bigger, no? I mean, why is that cop aiming for genitals? Is he jealous? Was he feeling inferior?
I think he may have been.
He might have saw that thing and like, hey, put that Alabama out there away, man. Got that thing, man. Like, you're jealous. Like, you're insecure.
Man, terrible. Florida woman smears dog crap on man's bed for not getting a text back to come over and smash her brains in.
Okay. In my past, I've been with a few of those types where if you don't text them back within 5.8 seconds, it's going to go down. So, I see it. Like, you know, I can see the scenario where she's texting them and he's taking a little too long to reply. So she just goes the real extreme way in a hurry. Yeah, I see that.
Thong wearing Florida man arrested while building a shed with garage on stranger's property.
Hey, why is he in a thong building thing?
Exactly.
Because the thongs don't really hold things together. So, you know, things are flapping around while you're drilling and banging hammers and stuff. That's an occupational hazard, right?
Very much so. Very, very much so. And the last two we have here. Fl- Florida woman teacher suspended for washing out students' mouth with hand sanitizer because the student said, damn, the guy across the room doing a board game.
He said, damn, the guy's not washed out?
Yes.
First of all, this ain't 1930s. No one does that anymore where you say a curse word and you eat soap. That doesn't happen anymore. What school is this? This is crazy.
Yeah, I don't get why that's even a thing.
This ain't a Christmas story where you get Ralphie in the bathroom and give a big red bar of soap. What is this? In the 30s?
Exactly. And final story is right on cue. Florida man swings sledgehammer right at a farmer for not giving him the pills he wants. He wanted to, quote, get bigger down there.
Ha! So that he wasn't of our ilk, first of all. Okay.
That's never
been established. Okay, he wasn't. And he must have watched too much wrestling because he channeled his inner Triple H and got a sledgehammer. So why is the first thing to grab a sledgehammer? Where is a sledgehammer? You know what? I've never seen one up close before in my life, a sledgehammer. So where did he have one on his hand in person?
Exactly. You can't even have a sledgehammer. You want to, quote, get bigger down there. My man.
Serious.
Extends is over the counter there, my man. Like, my man, extends is over the counter there, dude. I didn't get it from Jimmy Johnson. You can get bigger down there. Guess
yeah.
What? It's over the counter, dude. It's over the counter. You don't get that anymore.
Yeah, it's over the counter. And I'm still amazed that I'm 45 years old and I've never, ever seen a sledgehammer up close where someone just pulls out of their car or pulls out of their jacket and here it is, Triple H style. That's wild.
Yes. So, Bone, what is your take on this week's Boss Report, man?
I'm shocked that someone of our ilk in the Walmart, but then again, you reestablished that it was a big fatty in front of him, so he kind of lost his mind. You know, it happens. I'm not saying you're going to start whacking off at Walmart over it. That's always a good one. Also, anytime you had dead iguanas, the undead iguanas are always comical and mess. That's always like
that.
There you go.
Undead
iguanas and
mess
together are always the best.
Yes, indeed. That's the Boss Report, Boss and Bone. We out.
And if you don't know, now you know.